Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Mr. Carnell Davis.
The officer contends that Ra-Ra had warrants and that he told Ra-Ra that he had warrants and he asked him to step out of the vehicle. And that's when we understand that Ra-Ra supposedly refused to do this. And that's when the officer stuck his hand inside of the SUV, and Ra-Ra then supposedly rolled up the windows and pulled forward. The officer then contends his arm was trapped inside of the vehicle, and he was being drugged by the SUV. That's when he says he managed to pull his semi-automatic weapon and shot Mr. Thomas 12 times. He said that he pointed his weapon downward to avoid hitting other passengers because he was aware that there were children in the vehicle. We do know that officers are not trained to stick their arms inside of vehicles. That has come out as a statement from the police department. The medical examiner has ruled this shooting a homicide. We do know that the officer's name is Mr. J, or Officer J. Romer. He's not a rookie. He's been with the Fort Worth Police Department for 2 years. We understand that before coming to the Fort Worth Police Department, he also worked with the Watauga Police Department. We do know that Ra-Ra had been handicapped since he was 12. He had a leg lost to a shotgun blast at that time. We understand also that Ra-Ra was not pulled over by a normal police car. We understand that he was pulled over by a transport van, and supposedly there was no dash cam video available on that van. We do know also that the Zoom-In gas station did have a surveillance video, and they did provide it to the police department. However, the images that we have seen from those from that video is not clear enough for anyone to truly ascertain what happened. Another question mark on this whole story is that there were undercover officers. The exited that van with Officer Romer, but those officers who said that they had Ra-Ra under surveillance also stated that they didn't know that he had children in the vehicle. It was stated that Ra-Ra had just left a birthday party for one of his daughters. So it is questionable why the officers who had him under surveillance did not know that there were children in the vehicle. Also, we know that they said Ra-Ra had warrants from Dow Worthington Gardens. It has not been determined or stated so far, I guess, I should say, whether or not they were felony warrants, but we've only been told that, that he did have warrants. And last but not least, we understand that the police department has an ongoing investigation, and it will determine the facts in this case, and then it will hand it over to the Tarrant County District Attorney's Office, which will present it as a homicide to the grand jury. So, as of right now, that's what we know about the Ra-Ra Thomas shooting. A reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Also a reminder, the visitation of Ra-Ra is going on as we speak, and it will be until 8 p.m. tonight at Spencer's Funeral Home on Miller Street. At this time, we're going to go and open the phone lines up to the family of Ra-Ra Thomas and speak with Mr. Kenneth Thomas, Patricia Thomas, Norma Thomas, Carita Hendricks, and Keisha Eldridge. Good afternoon or good evening.
Good evening.
How are you all doing, family?
We're holding up pretty good so far.
Is there anything you all want to make known to the public about any aspects of this case?
It's really hard to say, but we definitely gonna get to the bottom of this, and we need to clear up my brother's name.
Okay.
You know, they're talking all about the negative things, but they haven't said nothing positive about what he does. You know,
okay.
You know, say he was a father and a provider.
So you're saying basically they have not even looked at any aspect of anything good he's done and just, I guess you're saying, focused on the fact that he went to prison back into or got out of prison in 2007, and that's all pretty much they're focusing on. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and you know, they don't even know that he has custody of two of his kids.
Okay. And I understand when I talked to you, Kenneth, that you told me, by the way, this is Kenneth Thomas, Ra-Ra's brother, you told me that throughout the community you have felt nothing but love from the people when they talk about your brother. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is the correct. We had a tremendous turnout, and there's people still coming to view the body, and it's been so much love. I mean, women, I mean, there's families that are coming to see. I'm talking about mothers, fathers, bringing their children's daughters. I mean, there's whole families coming to see him, not just his homeboys, his girlfriends, but I'm talking about families, proud families, I mean, bringing their whole families out to say their goodbyes.
Really?
And not just young folks. I'm talking about elderly folks have been there, you know. He's been touched by many.
Okay. So what do you want the community to know about Ra-Ra the person?
Well, basically, the community knows everything there is to know about Ra-Ra. There's no secret to Ra-Ra, you know. What he is what he is, you know. He does have a past, and you can't judge a man by his past. You cannot convict a man of his past. And
so when I went to the visual, and I told you this the other night, I was surprised by the sea of cars I saw at 820 in Rosedale. It was an incredible outpouring of love, and I went back to the Stop Six community this week, and I noticed that as I talked to the people, no one had anything bad to say about your brother, which that's hard to have happen because typically everybody has an enemy, but I never heard one person say a negative thing about your brother.
Well, you know, my brother was loved by many and hated by few.
Wow.
But when my mother and my family came to the lighting, when she seen all these people there, I mean, she was just so rejoiced that she cannot believe that all these people are here for her son. I mean, she was overwhelmed, and she has been in joy. I mean, my mother is very, very strong, and she's holding back a lot. And when she sees all this, and all the things that's going on today, and everybody's trying to reach out, I mean, it's been nothing but positive.
Tell us what type of father was Ra-Ra. I heard people say that they saw him on the weekends driving around the neighborhood with his kids in the car.
You can catch Ra-Ra at a grocery store with his four kids and maybe some friends' kids. You know, he may be in the grocery store with six kids, and you do not see none of these kids acting up. They're not running through the store. I mean, there's been people, and he's not getting any help. He's not using any wheelchair to go to the store. There's been people that are like, "Sir, are all those your kids?" And he's like, "Yeah, all these are my kids." And they're like, "I'm so proud of you." I mean, he is truly a father. You know, he does a lot with his kids. You know, like I said, they live with him. He picks them up from school. He gets them dressed. He takes them to school. He feeds them. I mean, the boy just started becoming a master chef. I mean, he's cooking pot roast, fried chicken, pork chops. I mean, he was a strong man.
He was a fighter. Has anyone from the police department, the city of Fort Worth, anybody reached out to you all?
There's no one has contacted us at all. I mean, no one.
So there's no official statement from the police chief or anybody, his representative, to say to the family, this is what, you know, we know so far and we're working on an investigation, nothing?
Well, if it's been on the TV or the radio, I mean, we're kind of like not listening to the TV and radio, but there's not been any phone calls to me or anybody of my family.
Wow. Okay, that's surprising. Would Patricia like to say something to us?
Well, right now, my family, most of them are still at the viewing because it's so, I mean, somebody has to be there because they're literally trying to take him out the coffin.
Wow.
I mean, there's people that are just crying. I mean, they're just in disbelief. And right now, I'm the only one here representing my family because we still have people trying to view the body, and you can't even get out the parking lot. You can't even get in the parking lot.
Wow. I can believe that from seeing what happened at the visual this past Tuesday night. I can absolutely believe that. Well, I tell you what, we're going to leave your line open, and we're going to take some phone calls. We're going to talk to Pastor Randall Shaheed. And Pastor Shaheed, good afternoon or good evening.
Good evening to you.
What would you like to say about the Rah-Rah shooting?
Well, everything that his brother has said has definitely resonated in my spirit, and I'm sure in the spirit of the community, because, first of all, as a pastor, I would have to say that it moved me beyond tears. I was crying, and it moved me beyond tears when I know for a fact that when you hear little children throughout the, when we had the visual, they were talking about rain down, rah rah, rain down.
Wow.
So that reminded me of how God rains down His love, and what rah rah was doing was sharing what he had with the children and the people of the community, showing love the way he knew how to show love, and sharing what he had with the community. And I don't understand why people would want to down talk a man when they don't know the man.
Mm-hmm.
What a person does isn't the subtotal of that person. It's the heart of that person that distinguishes the subtotal of that person. And these negative comments about rah-rah is unmerited. They don't even know the man. And somebody has to respect the brother enough to understand that he loves people. And as a lover of people, it doesn't make any difference what one's past is, because each and every one of us has a past. And those that are talking negative about the past, they should take an inventory of themselves, because the majority of them, I'm sure, just didn't get caught.
Amen.
Well, let me go and take a phone call. I'm going to leave your line open, Pastor. Area code 817-535. Good evening. You're on center stage. Good evening. Area code 817-535. You're on center stage.
Yes, this
yes,
is
sir.
Bishop George.
Hi, Bishop. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good. What would you like to say about the rah-rah shooting? There's a lot of tenseness in the air in the city of Fort Worth since this has happened. Bishop, what would you like to say to the people?
There's probably a lot that I would like to say, but what I would like to say, first of all, before I address that issue, to the family,
yes,
that our heart goes out to them. I had the privilege of talking with Brother Kenneth Thomas, And we've offered to him any services that we can provide. However, for the benefit of the family, we did have a meeting with the police chief on Wednesday.
Yes.
You probably saw some excerpts from that. But there are some things that those group of ministers who were there was very upset about it. And I haven't heard anything other than what the media is printing negative about this young man. I even raised the question, why does the past have to even be mentioned when it is not related to the reason for stopping him? And there are things that I won't say now, but I want to say to the family that you're in our prayers. I also want to say to the family that this is not the end of this. We're not going to just sit idly by and allow this type of thing to go on in our community and not rise up against it. It is a total injustice. It was 47 years ago last August when Dr. King had a dream. And still it seems like from time to time his dream has turned into a nightmare. It is so much obvious to us that it's based on race. Decisions are made based on race. And I wish I could just go into detail, but I hope that there will come a time when we can get our young people. Now, I want to let our young people who are upset know, and this is in their language, that we feel them. And we want them to know that we share their frustration, we share their anger.
Mm-hmm.
We may deal with it differently, but we're very upset about what has happened here. And if they will just be patient and allow us an opportunity to talk with them and to give them an audience with the people that they want to talk to, let us resolve this thing. Let us not let Roy's death be in vain and cause us to be having to bury some more of our young people. We did this 20 years ago when the Ministers Against Crime came into existence. We were burying two or three of our young people every week, and we decided to do something about it. That's how we came into existence, and we have been successful in stopping that black-on-black killing. But now we're faced with a new type of killing, and we're going to succeed in putting a stop to that as well. And I don't want to get emotional about this, but I'm very disturbed about it. And I want this family to know that we stand with them to do whatever we can to make this more bearable for them, as well as whatever we can do to assist them. And I'm speaking for the Fort Worth ministerial community.
Bishop George, do we have the assurance from the Fort Worth Police Department that we're going to get some answers anytime soon, or what are we hearing?
I don't mind telling you what we said to the chief is we don't want no dragging this through. We want answers now. But I want you to understand that they're very limited in what they can do now.
Okay.
Because it has to go through a process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we must do because of what we know, is let the community know that it is not the police department's dragging it at this juncture. But I'll assure you when the time comes that information is available and it should be presented to the family and the public, we're going to make sure that that happens.
Okay. Thank you, Bishop. If you don't mind staying with us for anybody who may have a question as to how that meeting went or some of the details of that meeting, we'd appreciate you doing that. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to area code 214-431. Good afternoon or good evening. You're on center stage.
Okay. How you doing, sister?
I'm just calling in to
give my support to the family, Brother Drew X, the chairman of the New Black Panther Party. And I'd like to say to his brother and his family, we see plenty of these cases all the time all around the world, and it has nothing to do with your past. It has to do with undertrained officers who think they are above the law. Nothing will happen to them, because most times these police shootings happen, the city protect these officers because they're liable. If they don't, the city will be getting sued if these officers get found guilty of anything. So 9 out of 10, it's a biased situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the family to know that the New Black Panther Party, we watch it. We'll be meeting at Fort Worth tomorrow. We will be meeting with SCLC and other leaders. I'm getting emotional because I see it's too much, and I know how the game goes. And that's all I'm going to say right now, sister.
Thank you, brother. If you're just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage, and the topic tonight is the Shira Thomas shooting, justified or homicide. We're going to go to Mr. Blackwell. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Yes, good evening. It's good to be here and to have the opportunity to support this family in their time of need.
Mm-hmm.
But let me assure you that there is one issue that the Fort Worth Police Department and the chief need to address immediately.
Okay.
The police that they put into our communities, they are not trained, and they have no respect for our people. That's the bottom line. Because when you can stand there and shoot a father with three of his children in the car with him and show no remorse, I consider that murder. And I think most people who view this will do the same. But we are going to continue to fight for this family, and we're going to continue to fight for our people who are being mistreated and abused every day in our community by police who have that mentality from 1619 that, Nick, if you don't do what I say, I'll either take you in dead or alive. This is the wild, wild west, and we have to come to realize that. And once we stand up as a people, stand together and stand strong and be persistent and consistent in what we want from this police department and hold this police chief accountable for the people that he puts in our community to police us. It's about time that this police department not go through diversity training, because police departments go through that all the time and they put the same officers back out there. They have to have a mentality change. The police chief have to let them know that this type of activity will not be tolerated, just like our brother in Dallas. Now, if you can fire a police for beating a man with a flashlight and kicking him in the head, then don't you think if a police officer kills somebody, he should have his job, he should have administrative leave with pay? That's not fair, and that's a slap in the face of the community. And everybody should be standing up and fighting. And we'll see you on Monday at downtown Fort Worth.
And, Mr. Blackwell, you're with what organization?
I'm with the Tarrant County Local Organizing Committee. We're a civil rights organization. We were established in 1995 after Minister Farrakhan called for all men to go back to their community and organize. And that's what we did, and we're continuing to fight for our people every day.
Okay. Mr. Terrence Swanson.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What would you like to say about the Sherrod Thomas shooting?
We're looking at Sherrod Thomas's across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
They are across the nation. And what I would really hope that Fort Worth would do is stand up in such a powerful way that we send messages across the nation to our other minority communities that it's time for us to defuse the type of conduct that police officers have in our community.
I'm sorry, what was that last comment?
What part did you miss?
I'm sorry, the last part you said about what in your community? You said do what? I'm sorry.
Yes, it's time for our community to stand up.
Okay.
Tell police departments that it's time to defuse this situation.
Okay. How do you feel the situation should be diffused, Mr. Swanson? What should the police do? What are we demanding that the police do?
Well, the plan of strategy, from my viewpoint, is we need to call for direct evaluation of the training officers. Who are the training superiors?
Mm-hmm.
Do these men and women in uniform have cultural interaction training so that they can change their mindset to how they deal with people in specific communities?
Mm-hmm.
We got to call and question for certain things to be done in such a way that things become transparent here in Fort Worth. One of the things that I've been met with from obtaining different information about the Fort Worth top echelon is that they are not transparent out here.
Okay.
This police department is not transparent, and it's one of the things that I can thank Chief Brown for in Dallas, Texas, is because he is working to make that police department transparent.
Okay. And I agree with that. If you're on the phone line and have a question or a comment, you need to press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open this evening if you'd like to post up your questions or comments in the chat room. If you just tuned in, we're talking about the Sherrod Thomas shooting, justified or homicide. Mr. Shaheed, You spoke earlier, and we talked about the fact that the Fort Worth Police Chief Halstead had endorsed testosterone as a remedy for giving officers energy.
Yes.
If anybody does any research on testosterone as a steroid in the form of a steroid use, it really kind of gives you a kind of jitteriness. It kind of agitates, kind of like risky behavior. You can go from like euphoria to paranoia. So if this officer was taking this testosterone, could that be a possible reason that he reacted to the situation the way he did?
Well, reflecting the comment that was made by Dr. Pelé, mm-hmm. he was stating that under the influence of the of that particular drug, that what it would do is alter one's mind and also increase one's body mass, will also increase the thinking capacity where paranoia would take place and aggressiveness would also ensue from taking steroids. And the article that we had read was that the chief endorsed it, and he himself went from a low testosterone level of 100 to over 1,000.
Exactly.
And this was 10 months ago. So when one thinks that a person, especially in the position of a police officer, would be taking this type of mind-altering drug, then one could possibly see how when we see police officers being aggressive,
mm-hmm.
no compassion, but that aggressiveness, that depressed way of doing things and no compassion in it, it might cause one to believe, could this be the reason why in our communities the police officers are not as compassionate as the other day, just yesterday. I was speeding. My mind was on something else because I was going somewhere, going through a school zone here in Fort Worth on Miller Avenue, and a police officer on a motorcycle, Officer Jones was her name, and she pulled me over. She approached me in a very respectable manner and asked for the documents that she wished to see. And it made me want, I didn't mind paying the ticket because I knew I was speeding because I wasn't paying any attention in what I was doing. But that's the manner that an officer is supposed to approach a citizen. It doesn't make any difference what our past is.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we conduct ourselves in a way and we pay our taxes, we deem respect, not treated in such a way that makes one feel degraded, you know, in a manner like that, but in a way of respect. That's how you get respect. You don't get respect by trying to show that you're part of a Gestapo or that you're trying to show that you done diligence because you got a badge and a gun. You know, our job, our position is that Rah-Rah's life was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And in the citizen's mind, in my mind, I just feel that if one confronts a situation such as that of Rah-Rah, then that situation was supposed to have been handled in a different manner. And if any citizen is thinking and saying that the officer was supposed to shoot and kill an unarmed man with a car full of children, where are we going?
I agree. Bishop George, I'd like to pose that question to you. Were you aware that the chief had endorsed testosterone steroids to the officers?
No, I was not. And,
okay.
There's an article,
you can look it up on WFAA.com. It's on several places online. But that type of steroid causes an aggressive behavior in a person. The chief, per this article on WFAA, he said he was experiencing low testosterone levels around 125. The average is supposed to be somewhere between 400 and 500. Once he got on his testosterone therapy, his levels went to 1,000. And experts, I think they went to five different experts, said that that wasn't even safe. And so if he is endorsing, let's just say this, and he is, because per the article, he is, and he even had a wellness seminar in which he encouraged the officers to come to, and he had these people that give these injections at the seminar, and he encouraged all the officers to take it. Is that something that we should be asking the Fort Worth Police Department to reexamine? Maybe it's not the police chief's position to give out that type of advice to their officers. And is he somewhat responsible if this particular cop was one of those on this testosterone steroid and could have possibly caused him to act in an irrational manner to a situation that could have been handled much differently?
Let me respond to that. Once I pull this article up and look at it myself, I certainly will bring it up to the chief, but I do have a question with the idea that even if this steroid or whatever it is,
testosterone,
if it has that type of effect upon an officer, it does not discriminate to neighborhoods.
Mm.
I mean, if the same officer out in the other areas should have the same reaction. So I don't think that kite will fly.
Well, let's just say this, though. In checking out the research, and you can research the effects of the negative effects of testosterone. The thing is, it is known that it can cause that type of behavior. So if you have a robo type cop on testosterone, it almost seems like an accident waiting to happen.
Well, I told Chief the other day, and I think you need to know this. Many times we get the report back that the officer was justified
mm-hmm.
in using deadly force because he or she was in fear of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
My position is if the officer creates that situation, then that officer don't have no justification for his or her action. And in my estimation, this officer created that.
I agree.
And I am really enraged, and I don't mind who knows this. If anybody, I don't care who you are, cannot be justified in shooting a person 12 times.
And I understand, and so, if I'm wrong, somebody please correct me, but I have been getting witness accounts that tell me that once they had shot him in the car, they pulled him out of the vehicle and shot him twice while he was on the ground after they pulled him from the vehicle.
I questioned that, and that was disputed.
Okay.
But nobody has disputed the 12 shots.
Okay. Well, then, I guess, you know, what I'm not clear on, and I spoke with a Fort Worth police officer, and I wanted to understand, why is it that nobody's listening to the account of the second adult in the vehicle or the children in the car? I understand that they were interrogated from 7:30 that night to 1:30 in the morning. Their guardians and their parents were not allowed to come into the room. While I'm calling it an interrogation because technically that's what it is. When you take a trial...
Well,
and
let
I'm just
me,
putting it on the record for Orange Police Department. It is what it is. If you
let
take a child, 11, 8, and 7, into a room after their father has been murdered in front of them, technically, and then you, question them repeatedly for that many hours, and the parents, I understand, did go to the police station, and they were not admitted to the rooms where these kids were. To me, that's wrong.
Let me clear that up, because I question that based on what I read. I was told that they were turned over to an independent agent, and I was at that site at approximately maybe 8:30, somewhere in that neighborhood, and I was there until about 10:30. Those children was on site. When the mother came looking for her children, she was given misinformation.
Mm.
The children was not somewhere else. They was on the site.
Mr. Thomas, is that what you heard? Because that's not what we heard, Bishop George. Kenneth
Thomas.
I know.
Is
that what you heard?
I have one of his baby mamas here.
Okay, but can the baby one of the mothers of one of Shirai Ross' kids that was in the car, can you tell us what the situation was, ma'am?
Yes, introduce yourself.
My name is
ma'am?
White, and I'm Sarah's mother.
Let me make certain I have their phone lines open. Ma'am, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, were your children questioned and you not given access to your children after you got to the police station?
We were given access to our children there at the scene.
Okay.
Maybe 30 minutes after I got there, I was able to get access of Tara. We sat there maybe another 30 to 45 minutes before they were taken to an independent place. They didn't go downtown to the police division, to the, you know, the police station downtown.
Okay.
We were not allowed access. We asked, could we go back with the children, and they told us no.
Okay. And now, Bishop, that's the mother of the children. And which child was your child?
We were there when she came, and what she is saying seems to be consistent with, not maybe verbatim, but consistent with what we were told, because we raised that issue, and my question was, you already have children traumatized by the shooting of a white officer, and then you're going to turn them over to somebody who look like the man who just got through shooting that father. There's a lot of things I can't share with you because of my position.
I understand, Bishop, but I'm saying since you're talking to the police, let's give them something for you to take back to them. That this lady just said, I don't know if you heard her clearly, she just said they separated her from her children after they left the scene. She says they took the children to another location, not the police department, and questioned her children. Is that not what you just said, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
That's
what
you
just said, Bishop.
I'm listening. I assure you that we'll follow through with this.
Because, I mean, it doesn't to me. The kids, I mean, you can say what you want about the father, but you cannot say his kids had a lifestyle, too. So why were they interrogated? And if anything, they should have taken them to see some counseling immediately as opposed to questioning them. And you know, it is what it is. Fort Worth Police, you were wrong, you know, in doing that. And I think the city of Fort Worth owes these kids counseling for the rest of their lives.
Ma'am, they never offered the children counseling.
Can you speak up, ma'am?
They never offered the children counseling.
They never offered them counseling.
No, ma'am.
Let me interrupt again.
Okay.
That was one of the, if I could use the word, demand.
Okay.
That was placed before the police chief. However, we understand that the buck don't stop with him, but he knows that is what we have already said, that you're responsible for counseling, professional counseling, for these children the rest of their lives. So.
And another thing, someone is asking in the chat room, and I want to. I guess co-sign or piggyback that, is it even legal to talk to a child? These kids were not criminals in any manner. They were never suspects in any manner. So why were they interrogated? Well, is it even legal to talk to a child without their parent being present?
I don't know. I raised that question, and I was told And I don't want to come on and just bash the Fort Worth Police Department.
And I don't either. I'm just saying, but Bishop, it is what it is. If we're going to fix the problem, then let's put everything on the table and fix the problem. But we can't say we're going to fix the problem and be nice about this when you got a whole group of kids on the stop six side of this city ready to tear it up. I mean, if we're going to be real about it, let's be real about it.
I think in the proper time and proper place, we're going to get the answers that we raised. I raised most of the questions that you're asking, and I did get some answers, and I was told that was standard police procedure. I have no way of, refuting that at this time, but I did raise that question, and that was the answer that I got.
Okay. In terms of, ma'am, when you were asking to have access to your children, what were you being told?
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
When the mother was asking for access to her child, which child was hers, by the way? Which age was her child?
Seven.
Her child was a seven-year-old?
Yeah, the one, it was her birthday that day.
And by the way, y'all, just so y'all be clear on what I said in the intro, if Ra-Ra was under surveillance by the police officers, the undercover officers, let's be clear, how could they possibly have had him under surveillance and not known the kids were in the car because he just left a birthday party for the child?
Good question.
So I'm just putting it out there, Fort Worth Police. If you don't like it, call us and talk to us about it. But we just want to understand how we going to keep all these young folks from being upset when we don't have no answers. We asked the Fort Worth Police Department to come on tonight to talk to us. We asked for some form of a statement to say to these people from the Stop Six community and the entire city of Fort Worth, what's going on? What do we know so far? And we could not get anything out of
Fort
Worth Police.
Well, let me speak in defense of that because While anything with the police department is under investigation, they can't comment on it.
But you know what, Pastor, Bishop, I want to tell you this. They could come and tell these people, excuse me, the city is looking into it. We hear you all. We know that you're there. We know what happened, and we're going to get some answers. That's just protocol.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No press conference, no nothing. Chief Halstead, that's totally unacceptable. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care what they say about the life of Ra-Ra Thomas. His family, his children, they deserved a phone call to say we're sorry about the shooting and we're looking into it. That's just protocol. They never even gave a condolence or anything. I'm going to go to the phone lines. Area code 773. Good afternoon. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Good afternoon. My name is Don Valenti. I'm the executive director of an organization out of Chicago called United for a Cause, and we deal with street violence here in Chicago. I'm glad I'm on this call. We just finished our own Blog Talk Radio this evening. We happened to be flipping through the pages, and I'm listening to this, and I am totally outraged. First of all, those children, I deal with children here in street violence all the time. No disrespect to the bishop, but they were totally out of place. You are so right. Children have rights. You cannot put a child in a room away from their parents and ask them any questions or just put them in a room away from their parents at all. That's wrong. Second of all, they should have held a press conference. They do have a spokesperson. The police department, the sheriff's department, whoever was involved in this, has what they call media news affairs. They have spokespeople. And what I'm going to tell you from this type of experience is make noise. You're going to have to make noise. You're going to have to make as much noise as you can because, to me, just hearing what I'm hearing sounds like they're trying to cover it up. And the most important people right now, the most important people are these children because they witnessed their father being killed and they were taken away from their parent where they couldn't talk to them. These are the children. The state should have been stepping in and saying, hey, we need to get these kids into counseling. But like I said, you guys need to make noise. You need to continue noise. Now that I know about this story, I guarantee you I'm gonna tweet it. I'm going to blog it. I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'm going to put it out there for the nation to know. You know, my suggestion to you guys, if they haven't already, is to contact the Attorney General's office in Texas. If you don't get anywhere with them, contact Eric Holder in Washington, D.C., who is the United States Attorney General. But you guys got to make some noise. Do not allow them, for the sake of those children, do not allow them to get away with what they're getting away with. Like I said, I'm experiencing this type of stuff, you know, street violence, police shootings. When it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, there's going to be – they're going to try to cover it up. They're going to definitely try to cover it up. But, you know, it's a good thing that you're doing the show. You know, like I said, I just kind of was flipping through the blog talk and came across this. I will go in the chat room and I will put my number on there for I'm sorry, I don't even know the name of the host of the show, but
Terry
I will
Hines.
Put my number – I'm sorry?
Terry Hines.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. I'm going to put my number on your – on the website for you. If you want to call me, feel free. Like I said, I'm in Chicago, but that don't mean I can't do miracles or try to do some stuff, work from here. This is going to be, if it isn't already on national news, it needs to be on national news. It needs to make, it would be considered a high-profile case. And if you allow them to sweep it under the rug, I'm telling you, they will sweep it under the rug. So, you know, I wish the family and, you know, the mothers and the children, I send my love to all of you guys. And like I said, I'm going to put my number on there. And anything I can do to help, please feel free to contact me.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Your number. One thing I'd like to ask is where we understand that Officer Jay Romer came from the Watauga Police Department. Was he fired from the Watauga Police Department, or did he just come over to the Fort Worth Police Department? I mean, did we get somebody that Watauga didn't even want anymore? I mean, because are we putting officers on the street that have Rambo-type mentalities or whatever reason? I just feel like the way he handled it, I mean, there's no way in the world anybody can justify a man shooting into a vehicle with three little kids in the car. I mean little girls. I can't even understand how anybody can say anything right is in that situation. And I think that's why the Fort Worth Medical Examiner or Tarrant County Medical Examiner so quickly ruled this a homicide. That's not typical. Would you agree with me, Pastor Shaheed?
I would definitely agree with you. And the procedures and the policies of the Fort Worth Police Department has to be changed. And not only is it incumbent upon the city of Fort Worth to write a letter to each citizen in the Fort Worth area, they should also present by way of writing the policies and procedures as it relates to stopping a vehicle on a traffic stop, on a felony warrant stop. It's procedures that they use, and those procedures should be mailed individually to every citizen in the United States, or should I say in Texas and Fort Worth, because we are the citizens, we are the ones that pay taxes, and we are the ones that should know what these policies are. And to be honest with you, I've never received them mailed to me, so I don't know what their procedures are.
Hmm.
And Monday, we are protesting this, and we're going to have a rally downtown Fort Worth in front of the steps of the police department Monday at 4 p.m., and we're asking everybody at the sound of our voice to come to Fort Worth, Texas, and let's protest this thing in a manner in which we can show the world that we're not going to let this thing slip and fall through the cracks. And if anybody got a vacuum cleaner, bring it, because we're not going to let it be swept under the rug.
Let me ask you, Pastor Shaheed, are you all going to the city council meeting on Tuesday?
We are going. We will be there to the city council meeting Tuesday, and we're going to be there in great numbers.
Let me ask you, who is the city council person for this district, the district that this shooting took place in?
The Honorable Frank Moss.
I suggest everybody get on the phones tomorrow and emails and call Mr. Moss and tell him we demanded some answers on this situation. I have not heard any statements come from Frank Moss's office. Has anyone else?
I haven't.
Okay.
I have not. You, Mr. Blackwell?
No, the only thing that we've had contact with Mr. Moss is our spokesperson has spoken with him. So he's very much involved in it. Maybe he hasn't put a statement out, but he is involved.
Involved to what extent, Mr. Blackwell?
Well, he has spoken with the chief, and we're working on some things to set up some stuff where we can have him to come out and address the community, you see. And that was one of our demands, is that this chief comes out into the community and take questions and feel how people in the community feel about being abused constantly by these rogue cops that don't nobody else want.
I guess questions are coming to my mind that are not coming to other people's mind. If there were three officers that exited that van that night, two of them were undercover, where are the statements from the undercover officers seeing that they were right there on the scene when everything took place?
That's a good question.
Where are they at? I mean, why are we just going by one man's account? Doesn't the two officers that were on the scene, as well as the passenger in the car along with the three kids, does somebody else's version of what happened count?
Ms. Carey?
Yes, sir.
How you doing? This is Terrence Swanson.
Yes, sir, Mr. Swanson.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
And this has been with past experience. We investigated the Tobias Mackey murder that Officer Tate had in October in Dallas, Texas. And this guy was the only one that gave a statement because these officers were taking time to try and get their stuff together. They went so far as to rearrange the crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that that's what's happening in the Fort Worth Police Department, but what we can say is we found that when those sort of tactics are used, they're trying to get their story together.
Mm. Okay, so you think that's what's happening? Because I don't understand. We keep talking about the video footage, which nobody could tell what happened based on the video footage. And so I'm trying to understand, if two officers were on the scene at the same time that the other officer exited the vehicle, didn't they see what happened? But nobody has questioned, where are the two undercover officers and why haven't they made statements about what they know to have happened that night?
Well, anytime a traffic stop of this nature takes place, especially as it relates to a felony, always, procedure is always to have a backup before you try to enter into a vehicle or bring a person out of a vehicle.
But what was the felony? The warrants that they said they were about to arrest him on, the warrants were not felony warrants, and they would have told us that by now. We're not crazy.
Well.
Mr. Kenneth Thomas, what were the warrants that they're talking about? I heard you talk about that the other night. These were not felony warrants. Is that correct?
No, my brother does not have any felony warrants. And my brother, if anything, he has a no seatbelt ticket, a non-moving violation.
So you mean a man is dead and killed in front of his children for a traffic stop or a traffic violation?
A traffic violation.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Center Stage. Tonight's topic is the Sherrod Thomas shooting, justified or homicide. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open. If you're listening via the Internet, you can post up your questions or comments in the chat room. We're going to go back to the phone lines, area code 706-468. Good afternoon or good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Yeah, good evening. First of all, I want to say my heart goes out to the family of Sharara. I had no idea. I was just invited to actually come on your show and listen to what's going on. This is the first time I'm hearing this via your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to put on the record that it's nice to be on your show. My name is Donna Colleone.
Thank
I'm
you.
Also a Blog Talk host. I just got banned and kicked out your chat room for no reason, just asking questions, striving to find out what's going on.
Oh, I apologize, Ms. Dunn-Nicole. I saw some of the comments, and I guess I misunderstood some of the comments that you were making in the chat room. We're being very respectful of the family of Thomas, Mr. Thomas, and I guess I was not clear on some of the comments that you were making.
Okay.
Mr. Thomas, was killed by a police officer. He was shot 12 times in front of his kids. Basically, to what we understand, there were no drugs or guns found in the car. basically it was a traffic stop from all indicators that went awfully wrong. So we did not understand your comments that you were making in the chat room. So that is why.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because when I was listening, based on what y'all was talking about when they mentioned surveillance, that was my question, like, was he under surveillance? And why was he on the surveillance? And somebody put, you know, for drugs. And I just wanted to ask, well, for drugs, is that clear? Like, but it, none of it matters now. It's just, to me, when I saw it justified or homicide, I'm just like, it had to have been, it was assassination. That's what it just feels like to my spirit.
Okay.
That this man was assassinated right in front of his children.
Okay. And that's what it appears to the rest of us to be as well. And the thing is, we are just trying to establish a dialogue in which we're talking about what happened as far as what we know the facts to be. And your comments just did not seem like you were understanding what the flow of the conversation was. I apologize if I kicked you out, for thinking that you meant anything other than just asking questions.
Okay, well, apologies quite accepted. I just want to help now. I just want to figure out what all do we need to do.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? What will it take to get justice?
You know, are there petitions coming, pastors? Are there petitions out there about this particular situation?
Petitions are drawn up and being passed out for signatures as we speak, and all you have to do is come to 4916 Ramey Avenue to the Humanity of God's Word Church. Go to.
I don't think she's in this area.
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
She's not in this. Well, okay. Well, anyway, maybe we can put that petition online. So that we can get those signatures that we need, okay?
Good.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Nicoleon.
Don Nicoleon, yes. All right, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess what we're trying to establish, and for anyone who is not clear, maybe tuned in late, didn't catch all the details, Ra-Ra Thomas was killed by a Fort Worth police officer Monday night. He was shot 12 times in his SUV while his three children sat in the back seat along with another adult male who was on the passenger side. The community of Fort Worth is outraged. They want answers from the Fort Worth Police Department as to why this had to happen the way that it did. If this man did not have felony warrants, what was the big deal about arresting him right then? If he was under surveillance, and maybe, Bishop, since you spoke with the police department, maybe you can help answer this. If he was under surveillance by the narcotics division, if he just left a birthday party with his daughter, what exactly did they expect to find on the man, and why was it so crucial that they arrest him right then?
Thank you.
I have probably as many unanswered questions as you have. I know what the procedure would have been, but I don't know what actually happened. The procedure would have been, had he left a drug house as it was earlier alleged and turned out not to be true, the undercover man would have received a call and his registration, and he would have pulled him over. But he wouldn't run to the car and try to open the door. The procedure would have been that he would have separated him from the vehicle. That didn't happen. So I don't want to incite a riot or anything.
And I'm not trying to do that, Bishop, and I want to make that clear. But, you know, this is a talk show.
Yeah, but what I want to say is,
I'm not trying to do that.
As many unanswered questions as you have. I am really outraged. One of the things that I haven't heard anybody mention, maybe you can help me.
Okay.
How can a man with his arm in a window, not holding on to anything, and is fearing for his life, take the one hand that he is holding on the vehicle with and draw his weapon and fire 12 times?
He's got to be Rambo.
There is a lot of things that I will hopefully get an answer to, but I want to try to keep this community calm so that we can Fort Worth know what happened with the Brosky thing. They know how this community can come together. But I want us to have a type of calmness where nobody just jumped the gun until we can really get some answers.
Okay. And Bishop, I don't know if you can feel my heart, but that is my concern as well. But I do realize that we don't want to be thought to be stupid either, and we don't want to be perceived that we're not paying attention, and we don't want people to think that we don't get all of the answers from what we're seeing or hearing, and that it's very clear that there's a lot of loopholes in this story. And like you, I wonder how somebody could be fearing for their life being drugged and then manage to pull their weapon and shoot 12 times.
And not be holding on to anything. Either the window's got to break or his wrist got to break.
Okay.
Because he's not holding with his
feet. That's just clear. And I'm trying to figure out if he was on the ground to begin with, how tall was this officer that he could reach his hand over into the car, and once the car pulled off, his hand was still trapped inside?
That's my question.
Mine too. We're going to go back to the phone line. Area code 817-495. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Yes, this is Lady Neeson with Restoring Faith in Christ. First, I want to say that this situation is surpassed anything of color. It is right and wrong. I think that to take the assumption that this police officer, just because he is a police officer, is telling the truth, we need to take another look at that. I can't get past the van. I don't know why the van was there. He was a transport van. Somebody needs to be asking for the policies and procedures of what a transport officer does.
That's an undercover vehicle.
Okay, if it's an undercover vehicle, you mean to tell me they had this man under surveillance? For how long did they have him under surveillance? If they had him under surveillance yesterday, today, why did they have to stop him at that particular moment in time? And if they had him under surveillance, then they knew that his children were in the car. If they had him under surveillance, they knew that he just left a birthday party.
Mm.
Why did they have to stop him at that particular moment in time?
Mm.
If they had him under surveillance, they could have kept him under surveillance for another 20 minutes. I think I read somewhere where they pulled him over and Rah-Rah sat there for 20 minutes.
Yes.
He didn't run.
If that video footage is correct, they said that car sat there.
You know what? Could it be that Rah-Rah fled because he was in fear for his children's lives?
Oh.
What was it that police officer said to him? We're assuming, everybody's saying, Rah-Rah said, I'm not going back to jail. We're assuming that everything that comes out of that man's mouth is the truth, and it's not. My spirit is telling me that Rah-Rah was in fear for his children, and he did what any man, I don't care what color they are, would have done.
That's
right. I can't get past the van. When somebody answers the question about the van, then maybe we can ask the rest of the questions about why'd you put your arm in a window that was being rolled up. You managed to get on an SUV on the sideboard, holding on to the rail, pull your weapon, shoot 12 times. You were only going 30 to 40 miles an hour. Why didn't you just jump off in the name of life?
Mm. Well, I am so in agreement with that. Anybody got any answers?
The question I want to have an answer to is I keep hearing that he was under surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he was under surveillance, where was the surveillance team?
Well, wasn't the surveillance team the van? I guess I'm trying to understand, if Officer Romer was part of the surveillance team, why is his name being called in if he was undercover, but the other two undercover officers, their names are not being called? If they were undercover officers, that's not even making sense.
Well, wait a minute. This is what I want to know. He was a transport van. He was a transport van. Okay, if he was a surveillance van, it doesn't matter. Who was in the van? And first of all, he had tickets for Dow Worthington Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Dow Worthington Gardens will arrest a rat for chewing stale cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And this man lost his life over that. We all know it doesn't matter who you are. You go through Dow Worthington Gardens, you're going to get a ticket. So even if you're doing a tick-up roundup for Fort Worth, the man had tickets out of Dow Worthington Gardens. And might I say, you didn't know that till after you stopped him. So he already, there's a discrepancy because we were told, the undercover officers told him to stop. Well, what is it? You stopped him on a routine traffic ticket, or you stopped him because you were told to?
And I'm trying to understand, and somebody make this clear if they know the answer to that. When they stopped him, did the officer ask him for his driver's license and insurance and then went back to the car, checked it, and then came back and told him you're under arrest? Or did he go to the vehicle and immediately say, you're under arrest? Which way was it?
Okay, and answer me this. Do surveillance vans normally do routine traffic stops?
No.
Okay, well, this one did, obviously.
After Rashad.
Somebody's out of pocket somewhere. Somebody's not doing something they ain't supposed to do in the city of Fort Worth. It wasn't Rara. He was doing what he was supposed to do, taking his kids to the birthday party.
No, I think it was coming from the birthday party.
Dare I say the police officer started it and finished it, and there needs to be some accountability for that.
Well, why was the police squad car behind the van instead of being behind Rara?
Oh, they come in?
Very good question.
Anyway,
very good question.
I'm off, y'all. I just want to say, before I let you go, I have the family, the Restoring Faith in Christ has the family in our prayers. We lift them up. We lift these children up in our prayers that they won't be forever damaged. We know that God is able. He's able to do anything. And we just want the family to know that Restoring Faith in Christ is here.
I think they appreciate that, and they are listening. Family, is there anything else you all would like to say? Thomas family. I think I have their phone lines open. The Thomas family, is there anything else you all would like to say?
Not at this moment.
Not at this moment. I think a lot of people have a lot of questions, and I hope the Fort Worth Police Department does not feel like we're inciting anything because we're asking, because they have not afforded the entire community an opportunity to ask any questions. So, therefore, that's why this forum was set up tonight. So if they feel like that's the case, they would be totally wrong. But I think people are asking the questions that they want answers to. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Because I think there's a lot of people that don't understand why it was such an excessive use of force. You know, I heard of bullets in all kind of places, and I'm just trying to understand, why did this officer feel like he had so much control that he was able to shoot bullets into a vehicle that had 5 people, and he felt like he was such a good shot that he didn't feel that he was putting anybody else's life in danger when the vehicle was moving at the same time?
That question has been asked, and, of course, there was an answer given.
Oh.
That he was shooting straight down on Rara.
But the vehicle, again, was moving. The wind could have shifted anything.
Many of the questions that you're asking, we've already asked those questions, and we're not satisfied with the answers either. So that's why I agreed to come on here, because I want to be a common influence if I can.
Yes, sir.
And I know this is a tense situation, and I appeal to our people who have been so affected by this to just be calm, because this is not the end of it. It's not going to stop here, and that's. That's a fact. We're going to get some answers, and we're going to get the right answers. But we've got to go through the process, and that's waiting until at a certain time that the indictment is made and so forth. I don't know how many of you remember the Brodsky case where he was set free, but it didn't take him long to reverse that decision.
Mm.
So we stand ready to do what is necessary.
Let me ask you, Bishop, have you all asked that this officer not work for the Fort Worth Police Department anymore? Because I'll be honest with you, we're all afraid of the guy.
Absolutely.
We think he's psychotic, and we really don't want him on the street.
Absolutely.
So have you all asked that they take this officer off the street?
That was probably the second thing that came out of my mouth.
Okay.
Because we don't want these kind of people over here, and I don't want to say anything that I don't know, but I'm wondering why he left Wautauga. We were not given that information, and you know, Wautauga doesn't have that many blacks, except now that it has grown a little bit. You know, that we've got them in person there, but traditionally there were not that many blacks there. And
Because I think what we want, and first of all, we want the Fort Worth Police Department to know we're not anti-police. We know that we cannot live in a world where there is no police. We're not crazy. But we do want the Fort Worth Police Department to realize that we as citizens, taxpayers, we have a right to ask questions when a situation like this occurs. And so it's not fair if they think that we wouldn't put on a forum like this to ask questions. And we're not trying to incite violence. As a matter of fact, I hope everybody realizes when the police pull you over, the best thing that you can do is follow their command.
Respect
the badge, even if you don't respect the officer. Any problems that you have, you ask the officer to bring his sergeant to the scene. If that can't be fixed at that level, then take it to an internal affairs the following business morning. But by all means, comply with the officer. You know, that's just clear and simple. Just don't even try to have an argument or an exchange of words. And whatever his command is, even if it's ridiculous, follow it just so maybe you won't have a similar situation to what happened to Rara. And I think I spoke to Kenneth. And, Kenneth, I think you told me that even though the community was angry, you didn't want anybody to do anything because you did not feel that Rara would want any bloodshed. Is that correct?
That is correct. I felt that there was enough bloodshed already. I mean, there's people that will do things at this moment if I was to ask for them to do. And there was people coming up to me, KT, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? I just said, I don't want no more bloodshed right now. I don't want no more bloodshed. I mean, we need to get to the bottom of this first.
Mm-hmm. So if that, Bishop, you know, lets you know that the community, you know, needs answers of some type, and so to not give them an outlet to
just... I'm in total agreement with you.
Okay.
And one of the things, perhaps, I don't know this, and I know you have a good reason for wanting to know why a police spokesman or somebody has not spoken publicly.
Yes, sir.
But Officer Neal did speak to another station. I won't call that station.
Please do not.
But she did speak to that other station, but I think it should have been broader, probably on television or something, that they should have spoken.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if you invited them to come and speak to this, but
we did.
And I don't know why they declined, because they owe it to all of us. Don't listen to the same station. There are people who wouldn't know this if you hadn't invited them.
Mm-hmm.
So they should get it out there where everybody can have some satisfaction in knowing what they intend to do, and that they're not trying to sweep it under the rug. It will not be swept under the rug. I repeat that. It will not be swept under the rug. Not because, I echo what you said, that there are good police officers, but the ministerial community will not allow it to be swept under the rug. We will not allow that to happen.
Okay. It just seems to me that typically what happens, and I think everybody knows this, you know, the police department will say they're looking into it. You know, the investigation will go on for a while. And then after they feel like the community has forgotten about it, you know, then all of a sudden we'll hear that the outcome was that the officer was given a slap on the wrist and remains a police officer. And I just think, in this particular situation, that's not going to be acceptable.
What I would like to say also is I hope that all of the communications that have been sent out, passed around by word of mouth, by flyers, I hope that what we are seeing right now here in Fort Worth, the only other person I'm hearing, I'm praying that other Bishop Thomas, I appreciate your stand, and I know that I'll see you downtown Fort Worth on Monday at 4 o'clock in front of the City Hall. And if we can just stand as preachers, as leaders, that standing for justice and looking for justice, then that means that we have to stand for justice ourselves, and we'll have to make that sacrifice that others are looking up to us so that we might be able to have justice flow through us to the people. So I pray that this radio station, this particular special broadcast, I pray that it will reach and touch the hearts and the minds and the compassions of everybody in Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth, Texas, downtown Fort Worth, it should be thousands downtown Fort Worth, not just one or two, because it has nothing to do with a single person. It has to do with every person. So I pray that whoever is listening, whoever is speaking, they're going to do their level best to get the word out that it's going to be a protest rally downtown Fort Worth Monday at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Shaheed, tell me what you told me about the comments that you saw on the comments section of what was it, the Fort Worth Star Telegram that upset you so bad?
Well, you know, you hear talk all the time about somebody's past.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a past. I don't think it's anybody alive that doesn't have some kind of past. And people look at the things that I do because of what I used to be. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing today, because of who I used to be. I used to be a terrible person. You know? So all I want to do is give back. And I look at Ra-Ra. It don't make no difference what he did. He was out there giving back. He was giving back to the children more than any preacher in Fort Worth, Texas.
Mm.
Listen to me. I'm a preacher. He would go down into the ghetto showering those children with money, and the children would say, "Rain down, Ra-Ra, rain down," and he would do that. But what other leaders that don't have a record, that hasn't ever done anything wrong, what have they rained down on the community? Mm-hmm. That's my question.
I understand. The phone lines are jammed. Y'all, if y'all got a question or a comment or like to say or give your condolences to the family, they are listening, they're on the line, we want you to do that. We want you to take this opportunity to tell us how you feel about the shooting. Was it justified or was it homicide? If you were there on the scene that night, we want to hear from you as well. If you have talked to someone that witnessed the incident, we'd like to know what your comments are. You know, I've been very open tonight because I didn't know Ra-Ra, I must admit that, but I was overwhelmed, to be honest with you, when I went Tuesday night to the visual, and I didn't know what to expect. And then I just saw a sea of cars. I mean, as far as you could see, coming toward Rosedale and 820 was nothing but cars. And I worked my way through the crowds, and I heard nothing but good things about this young man. And I just question, you know, the whole incident, because it's amazing that the community could feel one way about this person, but the police could shoot him down like they did. And so I'm just trying to understand, what were they surveilling and what did they see that the rest of the community did not see in Ra-Ra? You know, I don't know. To the family, tell us a little bit more about Ra-Ra, because for those that may have just tuned in that didn't catch it, did those of us that did know him miss out on knowing a great person?
Yes,
I mean,
they
despite
did.
What the media is making him out to be coming out of prison in 2007, I'm just here to say it's 2011. So yeah. It's amazing that they didn't have anything recent that they could tell us that he did for them to tell us that they were surveilling him.
You know what, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Ra-Ra had made up his mind and in his heart that he was going to live his life for his children.
Wow.
And it was all, it wasn't even about him anymore. It was about what his children wanted.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. because he missed out on so many things in his children's life that he wanted to be there for his kids. Mm-hmm. Rara was a perfect father. He wasn't one of these deadbeat dads that just produce kids and not take care of them. Rara stepped in his children's life. And Rara was a big role model in his children's life. My daughter tell you now, whatever her daddy told her to do, she did it.
Wow.
She respects her wishes of her daddy. And if you told her anything that went against what her father said, she wouldn't do it. See, this is a man that took responsibility of what he did and wanted to make sure that his children didn't follow in the same footsteps.
So you're one of the mothers of one of Rara's children?
Ma'am?
I'm sorry. You're one of the mothers of one of Rara's children?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so was your child one of the children that was in the vehicle?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Can you tell us how she's doing?
As long as you don't ask her anything, she's fine.
Wow.
She's keeping herself busy to where she don't have to think about it.
Wow.
But she.
So were you one of the ones that also went to the police department trying to get your child and they wouldn't let you get your child?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. And what were you told when you tried to get your daughter or go to where they had her at that night? What were you told?
They told me that I could not, or neither one of us could go back there with the children. They didn't want us to ask the children anything. They didn't want us to say anything to the children about the whole incident. And when they called them individually to the back and put them in separate rooms. And when we asked, could we go, and they told us no.
And what was their reason for saying no?
The people told us that they were not police. They was like interceders. And they told us that they didn't show us identification.
Ooh. So
they
you all
asked
you asked for business cards to see who were these people that were talking to your children, and they would not identify themselves?
No, we didn't ask. That we was escorted into this building. They didn't provide no identity. They didn't even provide us with forms to sign.
So you all never gave a release for them to talk to the children, and they basically interrogated the children as though the children were suspects.
Yes,
ma'am. Is what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Did y'all ask to speak to a supervisor, or were y'all just intimidated too by the process, and everybody was in shock about what had just happened, so y'all didn't?
I just wanted to comply because there was two police officers there as well. And I just wanted to comply with what the police officers, because I didn't want any more unnecessary drama put before these children.
So who notified you of what had happened that night?
A friend of mine called me.
Wow.
And
so were you one of the parents that was able to get to the scene before they removed your child from the scene itself?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. And so did they let you go to the location with your child, or did they transport your child separately to whatever this location was that they took the children?
It took me 30 minutes to get to Tara. I'm sorry. But we were allowed to get with the children. They put me and my daughter in a separate car. So we were able to ride with them down to the place where they took them.
Okay. And how long did this interrogation take place? For those who don't understand, how long? I understood hours.
We
how
was there.
Was
we didn't leave
back?
The place until midnight.
So midnight.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
The incident happened about 7:30 that night, and they took the kids away and kept them until midnight?
Yes.
Repeatedly asking them questions about what had just happened?
I don't know if they had asked them any questions before I got there. And when I got there and I was able to get to my child, nothing was said anything to them. We weren't allowed to ask them anything.
Wow.
Just to comfort them.
Wow. It sounds like you're getting emotional about this, and I understand. Do you feel, knowing your child, that this is going to affect her psychologically?
Of course. She has to celebrate her birthday and the death of her father. in one day.
Wow. So how is that they had just come from a birthday party for your daughter?
I believe.
Okay. So if that's the case, if he was under surveillance, then it looked like they would have had to have known the children were in the car.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
They should have.
They should. You would think if you're surveilling somebody, you know who's in the vehicle.
You should have.
When you see minor children. You know, for all of us that heard about it, honest to God, our hearts have gone out to you. I pray for those kids because I think, have you all demanded that somebody give your child counseling for life? Have y'all made that demand on the city yet?
No, ma'am.
Because
we haven't even been contacted.
You know what? If it causes our taxes to go up, so be it. Because we feel like your children deserve counseling for life. Because we can only imagine being adults what it must have been to see a situation like that. So we can only imagine what it's going to be for somebody. We understand the ages of the kids are 11, 8, and 7, something to that effect?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, wow. What do you want to tell the community? What do you want to tell the community about this situation and how you feel about the police shooting into a vehicle and endangering your child?
I feel it was unnecessary. It was very unnecessary. And what I want the community to know, if you're pulled over, just do what they ask to do. Just comply. We don't need any more of our young children losing their fathers or their mothers. I feel that the police officers should have handled the whole situation differently. I feel like it should have been a mark that pulled him over.
I'm sorry?
I feel like it should have been a marked police car pulled him over. If you're going to say it's a traffic stop, why not use a marked car?
Right. Tell me this. Knowing Ra-Ra that you know, the Ra-Ra that you know, does it sound like him to have decided to pull away if he, you know, knowing that the kids were in the car, does that sound like something he would have done, or do you think that maybe all the pieces are not here, something's missing?
Ma'am, something's not right, because he would never put his children in danger.
Wow.
Never put his children in danger like that.
So when you first heard that, that didn't add up for you?
No, it did not. But you know what? My child told me.
It's okay if I see
you. My child told me this is her dad's first time being killed, but this is being his last time stopped by the police.
Wow. That's what she said?
That's a 7-year-old saying that.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. And our hearts go out to her. So she on some level understands how final this is.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And I hope everybody is praying for you all, because I know it's going to take strength to get through this, and God can give you peace that surpasses understanding, and we hope he grants you that in this. But the kids, do you all, are y'all looking at this in terms of the fact that the trauma that it put on them? The rest of us are feeling like, how do I say this? The city owes y'all.
Yes.
And I think I speak for everybody. The city owes y'all. And I'm not inciting anything for Fort Worth Police Department. I'm just stating facts. You know, these kids, you know, that kind of thing, in my opinion, could, you know, it could carry on for years. You know, with problems that they may not be able to deal with certain things, or certain things may be triggers. From now on, like you say, the police. Now they're looking at the police as though every police officer is responsible for what happened to their father. And so, you know, anything else you want to tell us? You know, anything else, you know, that your daughter may have said that you think, you know, we would want to know about?
She don't want me to go to work.
Oh.
You know, how can a child see one person, one of her parents killed, and then watch another one go to work? Just the fear of not seeing her again.
Wow. So she has something.
How can y'all?
Was she the child that was sitting directly behind him? Because I know one child was sitting directly behind him when this happened.
I don't know, maybe
the older child. I don't know. But somebody said one of them was sitting directly behind behind him and totally discounts what the officer said. You
yes,
know,
there had to
have
been
heard,
at least one sitting directly behind his father. If there's three kids in the back, they got to sit behind somebody, right? They can't all sit behind the passenger.
Right. And we understand that the child that sat directly behind the father said that they never saw the police's arm in the car.
That is correct.
Okay. That, I'd heard that, and I wasn't certain that that was the case, but I did hear that, and the person on the passenger side said that the officer's arm was never in the car.
That is correct.
Okay. And so, for you know, Chief Halstead, we just want answers. You know, we don't want you to feel that we're trying to make this bigger than what it is, because it is what it is. But we do feel like it's not fair that you would think that we would just take the officer's account of what happened when there were four other people who are still living that can tell us their version of what happened that night. And so that's all we're saying. So the kids have all, I'm sure, told y'all what they saw, and obviously is not sounding like what the officer said.
That's correct.
Wow. Is there anything else you can tell us about what they're saying that kind of conflicts with what we're hearing in the media?
I haven't, as their uncle, I haven't.
Like we're hearing. Did that actually happen, or was he never hanging on the car at all?
He was never hanging on the car at all. I mean, it has running boards that they can hold a 200 to 300-pound man. I mean, if he was holding on for dear life, he would have been drugged. Where's the drug mark? I mean, where's the skid marks? What is his injuries?
Mm.
Okay, he was traumatized. What about the kids? They were traumatized. Mm. They talking about he was shaking and nervous. But what about the kids being shaking and nervous?
Mm.
I mean, one of the baby, when the police officer picked her up, she slapped him.
Wow.
And took out running.
Whoa.
Other kids, they run to stranger's house, knock on the door, run in their house, and crawl up under their beds. And hide.
Oh.
And houses they don't even know. They feel more protected from a stranger than the police.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's trauma. That's trauma. So
that is trauma.
That's trauma.
Yeah.
And so how is it that the Fort Worth Police Department does not know that we need some psychologists on the scene ASAP to talk with these kids?
Oh,
you know what? Better yet, we don't even want their psychologists. We want these people to be able to find their own independent psychologists who don't have any association with the Fort Worth Police Department, and let these kids go into private counseling immediately.
No. Not only that, the parents shouldn't even have to go to work right now.
Ooh.
They should be able to stay at home, taking care of their children, and the city of Fort Worth should be paying for every single minute that they be in at home. Because here this man is, he done already went and got the license from Rah-Rah. You mean to tell me when a man goes to the car, reach in and get the license from the man driving the car, he's not going to see who's in the car and then come back and say he shot and he didn't know nobody was in the car?
No, I think if Bishop George can address this, I think Officer Romer said he knew children were in the car. That's why he supposedly was pointing the gun downward, directing it at just Rara. But two undercover agents, from what I'm understanding.
That is not his reason for pointing it directly down, but the press release that I received stated that he knew that was other passengers.
But wouldn't that still be child endangerment?
Yeah.
I would think.
Where is your common
automatic weapon? I would think so.
Well, where is the common?
Why did he shoot him in the head? And if
exactly.
He shoot him in the head and upper torso, bullets go through bodies, and what about the children?
They shot him in the head. If they shot him in the head once, why they need to shoot 10 other times?
Hey, man, that's what I'm talking about.
My thing is, if you standing on a running board, and this car going 30 to 40, and you open fire, 12 rounds, now didn't you put your life in danger? What if that car would have flipped over?
There you go. Good question.
But you know what? That, speaking of that, don't bullets ricochet?
Yes, ma'am.
So with shooting bullets into a car, could those bullets not have hit a piece of metal or something, or a keychain or a key or something, and hit somebody else in the car?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, it's just to me, there is no logical reason why a trained officer who has 2 years with the Fort Worth Police Department, and I understand another possible 6 years with Watauga, would be so inexperienced and so lack such training. He doesn't even seem like he had training. I mean, it's almost rookie-esque what he did. So I'm trying to understand, how can we say that this guy should be put back on the street when someone who has almost 8 years of experience would make a judgment call like that? It's unacceptable. I mean.
And, Carrie, we also got to think about this. This goes back to the training that these officers are receiving. This is one of the things that we as a community are going to ask Chief Halstead to call and answer for. And I also want you all to know this. They're going to have this in the Sunday's paper, but they put that window back together today.
What window?
The window from Rara's SUV. They reconstructed it today.
No.
And they're going to give those results in that Sunday Tribune. I mean, in the Star Telegram.
Okay.
But that. When this comes out, I assure you the Chief Halstead is going to have to put this officer before the community to call an answer, because I assure you, just with the reconstruction of that window, it's very, very, very questionable whether or not his arm was in there just by their reconstruction of the window.
The phone lines are jammed. If you would like to give your condolences to the family, if you would like to tell us what you think of the Ra-Ra Thomas shooting, if you know someone who was possibly a witness that night, February 28th, at the Zoom-In gas station right there at Rosedale and 820 here in Fort Worth, Texas, please give us a call and let us know, because we just want to better understand. We want some clarity for what we saw, because the video, in my opinion, they could have kept the video, because that video, in my opinion, never even identified Ra-Ra's car. And I don't know if the family feels the same way, but looking at that video, I couldn't tell whose vehicle that was. I mean, seriously, you just pick one, any color, because I couldn't tell the color, I couldn't tell the size, I couldn't tell the make or the model, I couldn't tell any of that. And I don't know if anybody else said that they could, but I couldn't.
Okay, I would like to make a comment. They're saying that they pulled them over for traffic warrants. Well, first of all, when you run a person's license plate, it's going to tell you who the person belongs to the car. The car is not even in his name, so therefore it's registered under my sister's name, and my sister has no warrants. So therefore you cannot pull a car over for him that he's not even registered to.
Oh, Lord.
So do we know if the officer ever went to the car and talked to Ra-Ra and asked him for his driver's license and his insurance ID?
Not to my knowledge.
So I'm trying to figure out, at what point can you just pull someone over who's driving an SUV and say, okay, that's our man, pull him over and get him out of the car?
And I would like to make another comment. When this vehicle comes to a complete stop, how is this vehicle stopped and put in park? Did the officer put the car in park? If they're moving 34 miles an hour, my brother cannot brake and speed. He cannot brake and accelerate at the same time. He only has one leg.
Wow. That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Anybody got any answers to that one? Because I sure don't. That's a very interesting question, and one that I definitely had not thought of.
I will make a comment to that. I would say that my brother did fear for his life,
wow,
and he feared for his kids. So in that sense, I believe that he possibly pulled over and put his car in park.
Really? So you're saying at the point that the car stopped, that you know, near Lucas and 820, you're saying that's the point that you think he stopped it? Okay. Okay.
Yes, I mean, how can I don't care if your car is going 30, 40 miles an hour, what's going to make it stop? He's got to crash into something to make it come to a complete stop.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it just jumps the curb, it's still going to roll.
Right.
But this car is at a complete stop in park.
Wow.
The ignition cut off?
Hmm.
Wow. Bishop George, did they give you an answer for that one?
No, but somebody will.
Okay.
I am listening to everything. And you've given me more questions than I already had. Because
okay.
This is information that I didn't have, or I would have definitely.
Well, how could you have this information if they're not putting it out there?
That's what I'm saying. They put out, I guess, what they want. But I'm listening to you loud.
And I'm putting out this information, and I wasn't even there.
Mm.
So I want an expert that was there to give me justification.
Can I ask you which leg Ra-Ra lost? Was his right leg or his left leg?
Right leg.
It was his right leg. Okay. So I'm just trying to, you know, think myself after he made this point about, you know, how did, because I understand he was shot in one of his legs. So if he was shot in the leg, I'm sure that would hamper whether he was able to put a brake on anything and put a car, you know what I mean? So if they shot him in his good leg, I would think that it would be harder for him to bring the car to a complete stop and brake and all that. Does that make sense? Because I'm sure that's the right leg would be the leg that he used to drive with. So how was he able to, like you all said, come to a complete stop, put the car? You know, it just seems like somebody had to, you know, I'm just asking. I'm as in the dark as anybody else has to all of this, because I'm trying to figure out how did this start at Rosedale in 820 and go all the way to Lucas in 820, if he was accelerating at the speed that they say he was accelerating at, that this officer was able to manage to get himself from being drugged to holding on to the top of the car and then managing to draw his weapon and still manage to get off 12 shots before he got two blocks.
Kerry, I want you to think about this. Think about that police officer had already had prior interaction with Ra-Ra. Now, I want you all to also think about this, and had came to that vehicle with his gun already drawn.
Now, someone is saying in the chat room that Abdul got 20 cameras around Zoom in. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Mr. Dogstar, I wish you call in if you have that knowledge, because we are not knowledgeable that they have that many cameras there. If you would, please call in and give us that information. That's what someone in the chat room is saying. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Can you repeat that again, what you just said, Mr. Swanson?
I want us to also think, because, you know, I saw the surveillance tape, and we cannot see what's happening on the other side of that vehicle. But what I do know is that soon after that officer walked back around there, that either this man had his gun already drawn.
And if your gun is already drawn, then this is not a routine traffic stop.
Right. Exactly.
Now, I can understand if you already know that there's like 10 suspects in the car. But there was two grown suspects and three innocent children.
Exactly. Well, I was looking at the video, and it was dark over there. And so conveniently, the top of the tape is down below the window. And could it be possible that tape is doctored? Because couldn't it be also possible that Ra-Ra was shot before he even left? That's why he pulled out.
That is true. Okay, so when the officer made his first shot, was that a warning shot?
Yeah.
No, a warning shot goes up in the air. A warning shot does not go into his body.
Thank you.
See, why is it? See, you can't see through the window the way they got the film taken. So could it be that they didn't want anybody to see a flash coming from the gun? Since the camera is pointed
eastward.
I would like to state that they did show two separate showings of the vehicles moving through the parking lot. The first time they showed vehicles moving through the parking lot, there was at least five or six cars at pump station. And the second time they showed the vehicles moving through the parking lot, there was no cars at the pump station.
Whatsoever.
Now, how do you explain that?
So there had to be a time lapse in between there, right?
That's correct.
See, 411 Police Department, you know what? We ain't stirring up tonight. God knows we're not. But we're just smart enough to know that when you put a couple of heads together, we can come up with some solutions to some things that ain't making no sense. And so all we're asking is that Chief Halstead meet with these folks and tell them something. I mean, it's only fair. I mean, the Thomas family deserves the chief to come to their home, sit down, and talk to them about what the heck is going on. And no disrespect to what he did with Bishop George and the group of ministers against crime. That was wonderful. But how can you meet with a group of people and not ask the family to come, a group of ministers, but not ask the family to come and be a part of the meeting? I don't get that. I don't get that. If I were the family, I would be thinking, well, why did no one invite me to the meeting?
Let me give you some clarity to that.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't volunteer.
Okay.
We demanded the meeting.
Okay.
It wasn't like he called us and said,
okay,
I want to meet with y'all.
Okay.
That was done because we insisted.
Okay.
That we had a meeting to get some answers.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up.
Not knowing the family, it wasn't possible for us to include the family.
Okay.
Or we would have, but I can give you the reason why that it went like it did.
Okay. We appreciate you clearing it up because I didn't know. We're down to our last 8 minutes in this show. If you would like to, like I said, give your condolences to the family, give us your comments or any questions that you may have about the rah-rah shooting. Get on the phone lines now, or if you're on the phone lines, you need to press 1. We're going to go to area code 214-854. Good afternoon. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Yes, my name is Brother Norris Thompson. I like to say I'll give condolences to the family. I'm a first lieutenant local on the Brother Hakeem. I like to say thank you to Brother Swanson being on the air. But I just want to say this right here. I'm very emotional right now. And we look back and make a long story short the last 8 minutes. We have been in the South, which we say, call it sometimes the dirty South. We are now an educated people. We were written in the Bible as a very educated people. And now we've come up from the darkness to the light. And like I said, we don't want to start a riot or anything, but if education is the key and all the key points that we said tonight, we are bagging them up in the South. We are no longer ignorant people on the last end of the list. If education is what it takes, then that's what we're going to do. So we're not sleeping in the South anymore. We have a rude awakening that puts us where we need to be in the eyesight of God. And if law is supposed to constitute on the law of God, then we have to expose wickedness in high places. And that's one of the biggest, highest issues of us being on the phone, exposing wickedness in the high places and corruption for peace for mankind and humanity. It's not about a color thing. It's about humanity and how do you conduct your thinking. How do you put law with Christianity and right and wrong and place it to not contradict itself? So we in the South are very educated people. I'm very proud that we are on the air with this show to show that we're using education. We're not coming out here like savages, but whether it's the education that we have received for as law, we're going to use it now. So we are woke. We are alive. We're a powerful people in the human race. And if education is what it takes to make things right, so we in the South are not ignorant and dumb anymore. We will use our education. We will not back down. And you have my condolences. I'd like to thank everybody for what they heard tonight and also the things that I've heard that's educating me. And I'd just like to say, man, I tell you, it's time now to rise and wake and not walk in darkness, but let's keep walking to the light. If education is part of the light, that's what we're going to use, because that's what it takes. And when Christ hit the streets and went toward the weakness, and he went against city legislators, city councilmen back in the ancient times, that time has not changed now. So
wow.
Now that we're awake, we will use it.
Thank you.
And that's all I want to say.
Thank you. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Give me 1 second. Good evening, area code 301. You're on center stage.
Thank you, Center Stage. I'd like to give my deepest sympathies to the family. The recount of what happened to the children was chilling, and it was coming across that phone. It didn't sound good at all. What they did with the children. My question: has anyone contacted or gotten a response from the U.S. Attorney in that region in Texas concerning? Whether or not rah-rah civil rights were violated during the stopping of his vehicle.
Pastor Shahid, family, he's asking a question directed at one of you all.
Okay. We've gotten in touch with civil attorney that is supposed to be getting in touch with the Justice Department. So, Swanson.
Well, I want everyone to know that, and I spoke with Civil Rights Attorney Ron Wright with Texas Justice Seekers. He is behind the scenes gathering information right now, but it's such a delicate situation because of the family. We want to make sure that everything is in order. So believe me, the main attorney for the state of Texas will be contacted. There's a petition going around right now, and we're going to give the Fort Worth Police Department an opportunity to get their facts together, to do their investigation, so that everything is followed with due process.
Okay. Who was that that called my name a second ago that wanted to make
it? Before we get off the air, we just want to run over the agenda right quick so people can understand what's going on in the next few days, next week.
Okay, we got 3 minutes. Wrap it up.
I got you, yeah. On Monday at 4 p.m., we'll be meeting at the police department there on Bell now for a press conference and rally.
What time?
And Tuesday night we'll be
going. Time on Monday?
Monday.
What time?
Monday, 4 p.m.
Okay.
Police department on Bell now. And on Tuesday, we are going to the city council and voice our displeasure with these people. And then around Thursday, we'll let the community know. We're trying to set up a community meeting with the chief and his attorney and anyone else who want to come out in the community and provide information on this situation. Yeah.
Okay. We'd like to thank our guests, Pastor Randolph Shahid, Terrence Swanson, Bishop George, and the family of Rara Thomas. We'd also like to remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage. Also, the funeral services for Rara will be Saturday at 3 p.m. at Spencer's Funeral Home in the chapel. It's located on Berry Street. And also, we'd like to remind you of a benefit for Rara's children that will be held Saturday night at 9 p.m. at Club 2010 at Berry and 820, and all proceeds will go to Rara's children. Again, our condolences go out. I don't think we said it at first. I'm sorry. Our condolences go out to the family of Rara Thomas. You are in our prayers, and we, again, ask that God give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Does anybody else want to say anything? We have 60 seconds left. Family, Mr.
That's on Miller Avenue.
I'm sorry, Miller, not Barry.
Miller Avenue, and Mr. Blackwell is here representing LOC.
Okay. I'm sorry, the funeral services will be at Spencer's on Miller Street in Fort Worth, and the benefit will be at Club 2010, which is on Barry and 820. Family, we're down to our last 60 seconds. Any comments before we... Okay. We're going to assume that they're okay with everything that's been said. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. I appreciate your participation.
Hold on. My sister would like to say something.
Yes, ma'am. Very quickly.
We had a lot of love and support that came out from my brother today, and they had nothing but positive things to say how good he was to the community,
okay.
To the kids.
Okay. So y'all, the family appreciates all the love and support. All the support that you all gave them.
That is correct. In addition, we also would like to spread the word that if you didn't get to attend the wake tonight, that we are putting together a petition. So if you did not get on that list, we ask that you come by 3 p.m. tomorrow at the funeral home to get your name added to that petition list.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What station was that? 98.9.
That was...